Good morning. This morning I'm taping Audrey Tripp of Drift Road. She is a woman whom many people have said, you don't have Westport if you haven't taped Audrey Tripp. She has been a very quiet, modest person who's beloved by many and done so many things that no one, she's made an effort not to let anyone know about. When I speak to some of her friends, they say she has a heart as big as a whale. I don't know about that. I know that she has, in addition to being a teacher for a long time, been a school administrator, has performed many public services, and I wish that I could somehow prevent her from being so modest, too modest, to tell about all of the things that she's done, and how a philosophy developed, which on her part, in her heart, really, which made it necessary for her to make this contribution and not be a selfish person. I'm Mary Giles, and I hope we can learn a lot this morning. Were you born here in Westport?
Yes, I was born in Westport. I am a native daughter. I was born in a farmhouse on Pine Hill Road, which is now the home of Judas T. Smith, a well-known personality of the town. This was my grandmother's home. My father worked there and lived there as a farmer. And I lived there, except for the time I was away at school for 4 years, until I was 22 years of age.
Well, that's amazing. As a farmer's daughter, did you do any chores things like that?
Yes, I did chores. Most of these chores were gardening chores. We had cows, but I never milked a cow in my life, believe it or not.
No.
And
I weeded
and set out plants and brought wood in for the fire. Every day when we came home from school, this was our task, to bring in arms full of wood. Mm-hmm. I can still feel the splinters in my arms once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to school?
I went to the school at the head of Westport, which is still standing and still houses children in grades 1 through 4.
What was it called?
It was called the Head School.
The Head School.
Which is the name it bears today. I went there through the first 6 grades.
Mm-hmm. And then?
We went in a Rio truck, which was used to transport cattle when it wasn't transporting children.
I think that's amazing. Isn't it?
And
yeah.
It had a canvas on the sides, which were taped down in bad weather. But as a matter of fact, it was the wood transportation, which is still used today for the Westport school system, of course, several generations removed.
Yes.
This was Harold Wood's father, who ran the school bus, or one of his sons.
Yes.
Raymond used to drive the bus later when we had actual school buses. But I recall going in the old Rio truck. And from the head school, I went to the factory school, which is now a gift shop. It was condemned as being an unsuitable facility some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I went there to the 7th grade.
Where is it located?
That is located on Beeden Road, which is just across from the parking area at Lincoln Park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was very impressed by one of my teachers, or several of my teachers, but especially a teacher who gave me the first real love for poetry. That is the first teacher. My mother instilled that love in me, but his name was John Geary. And I recall that he took us to a home on Pine Hill Road, which I think is now the home of the Sharrigs. I'm not positive about that. But at that time, Mrs. Joyce Kilmer was living there.
Oh,
and it was one of the thrills of a lifetime to have met Mrs. Kilmer, because,
yes,
of course, Joyce Kilmer's poem Trees is one of my favorites. Yes. From the seventh grade, I went to the eighth grade at what is now the Milton Erroll School, which was at that time the high school,
mm-hmm.
but housed pupils in grades 8 through 12. And there I was under the influence of some very fine people who I think gave me a very good foundation for the 4 years which I spent later at Bridgewater Teachers College than the normal school.
Mm-hmm.
When you were after school and before school and for fun, what did you do?
I grew up in a neighborhood where there were no other girls, so I played boys' games,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I was really a tomboy. It was either play the boys' games or not play at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we played hide-and-seek and games which children know very little about now, sardines and all that, until J.T. Smith and his family came. And then Gene Parsons, who was then Gene Smith, and Barbara Erickson, who was Barbara Smith, and I, made up our own games often. We enjoyed the farm, we loved the out-of-doors, and we spent most of our time there. And
in the winter, did you skate?
Yes, we skated. We skated on the pond.
Mm-hmm.
We coasted on the hills,
mm-hmm.
and we went on the river in the summer. I was not much of a swimmer, but the other girls were. But we went in the boat up and down the river. We went crabbing,
mm-hmm.
and in those days, and it was nothing to get a bushel of crabs, you know, up in those creeks.
Yeah.
In those days.
Weren't you fortunate compared to today?
Oh, yes. Everything, you know, we were home most of the time. Once in a while, we'd go on a Saturday to the MP store, and if we had been behaved ourselves all week, we were fortunate enough to get a Mr. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful? Did you go to the A&P in New Bedford?
No, it was at Smith Mills.
Smith Mills.
Well, it was an A&P
mm-hmm.
store there,
mm-hmm.
run by Mr. Taylor, and it was there for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the city very rarely. I remember
where
going
did you buy
to
most of your clothes and things, or did you buy them?
Well, we were in rather poor circumstances, and I don't ever remember having a so-called boughten dress until I was in the seventh grade, and I won a spelling match. I think my father had high hopes that I would end up in Washington, D.C. as the national champion. Unfortunately, I didn't go any place except New Bedford, where I was stuck on the word mucilage.
Oh, I love that. That's marvelous.
No, my mother made over clothes, and I had hand-me-downs and
mm-hmm.
all that sort of thing.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had an older brother, Kenneth, who passed away at the age of 35
mm-hmm.
From an unknown cause,
mm-hmm.
very suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have, still living, a younger brother, Harvey, who lives in Somerset and works for Alpert Wholesale Company.
Mm-hmm.
My older brother went to a business college and afterwards taught there at night. That was the old Tivoto's Business College in Fall River.
Mm-hmm.
He taught there at night and worked in an office in the daytime and later became an office manager.
Mm-hmm. And no sisters?
No sisters.
So these hand-me-downs came from friends?
From friends and from relatives in the city who were a little better off than we
mm-hmm.
were at
mm-hmm.
that time.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother was a very
Were these depression times?
Well, these were not depression times. I was born in 1914, and the depression times came when I was in college and started
mm-hmm.
to teach.
Mm-hmm.
In 1935, I started
mm-hmm.
to teach. And
what did your father, as a farmer, there at Julius T. Smith's, what did he farm?
Well, when Julius T. Smith came, he was a market gardener in
mm.
New Bedford on a small scale, and he just enlarged that, and the dairy end of the farming was no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was lettuce, celery, carrots, beets, and all that sort of thing, you know, and for truck gardening.
Would you tell me the name of your father,
Yes, my father's name was John middle name Stephen
mm-hmm.
Tripp, and my mother was Ida Frances Kirby
yes.
Tripp.
So that one Tripp married another Tripp.
Well, her mother was a Tripp, actually.
I see.
Her father was a Kirby.
I see, yes. Well, I taped Julia Smith.
Did
you? And you should hear the praise he had for your father.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I'm sure. He was
he was so fortunate, he felt, to have inherited, more or less, the marvelous qualities your father had.
My father was a good Christian gentleman, and my mother was really a saint. She was as perfect as a human being could be, I think. I never saw her lose her control of herself, ever.
Mm.
She never raised her voice, never had to with us. It was just something about her.
Mm.
We had so much love and respect for her that we just...
Perhaps
just
this explains a bit of your philosophy and the reason why you are the way. I think it does, don't you?
I
mean, undoubtedly.
My mother and father were a great influence on me, and I think that's why probably I felt that they had sacrificed a lot to educate us, and even though the education wasn't that expensive at that time, it was a great deal of money to them,
mm-hmm.
but they valued education. My mother was forced to leave school and go to work. She became a cook for a wealthy family, and
here in Westport?
In Westport, the Traffords,
mm-hmm.
who were
the
mill people,
mm-hmm.
you see.
In that big house.
Mm-hmm. She was a marvelous student, beautiful command of Latin,
mm.
and in spite of the fact that she left which school, and I think it would have been probably the equivalent of a sophomore year in high school, she had... if she'd only had opportunities, I mean, I know she could have done so much with it. She would. She was a marvelous cook. She would be at a stove cooking a pudding and having a book in the other hand reading.
Isn't that lovely? Yes.
She read all the time.
Marvelous.
And I was very, very fortunate to come from such wonderful
people. Well, I think this may
people,
explain
you know,
your
And so I remained with them mm-hmm. until they died.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you leave the Smith farm? Where did you
Smith
come?
Farm, I felt that my father had worked hard all of his life, and we decided that it was time that he should retire, and we moved to the Martin Atwood House at the corner of Reed and Forge Roads. It's now owned by the Legenda family.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Atwood was a first mate on the Martha's Vineyard boat. His wife was a piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife had passed away, and he decided to sell a house. There were no children there. So I lived there.
What were you doing at that time now?
Well, I was teaching there.
You were teaching.
I was teaching.
You were through college.
Yes.
And you were
teaching
at Milton Earl?
No, I was at the factory.
You were at the factory school. That's what I wondered. Where you were first teaching.
I was at the factory school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I left my mark.
Mm-hmm.
I fell through the ceiling one day.
I think that's marvelous.
causing a great stir and splattering of plaster, and saved only by the BX wire. I was much thinner then.
Yes.
So I always said if I left any mark, it was there, and it's still there, painted over.
How long did you stay at the factory school?
I stayed there 3 years. Let me see, 3 years. I believe it was 3 years,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And then you
And then I... I guess it was five.
Which
started
grade?
In as a teacher. I taught both 7th and 8th grades
mm-hmm.
with a variety of subjects, ranging from English to social studies to nature study to physical education. And I taught both grades.
Mm-hmm.
We had two divisions in each grade. And I know when one of the neighbors asked my father what I was teaching, he told him, he named off the subjects, and he said, well, what's physical education?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, she takes the children out in the yard and she teaches them how to play different sports. He said, good heavens, are we paying taxes for that?
I love that.
I just wonder what he thinks today, you know.
I wonder what he would think. Yes. I have a little story to tell, but I want to wait to till we get to the Milton. How long did you stay there before you came?
I stayed at the factory school. It was for 5 years.
I became
the principal of the school.
I see.
And you know, the school committee at that time had a great pride in the fact that some of the graduates of their high school had gone on to college. This
mm-hmm.
was a rarity in those
mm-hmm.
days. And even though it was Depression time and positions were hard to get, we received notices of our appointments in April.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first ones on the campus to be appointed. We had no interviews. I think the committee was just so pleased to think that products of their public schools had graduated from a normal school, that each one of us got a contract. I'm sure they didn't know what they were going to do with us.
No.
But that was $800, and our first contract. And Lillian Cahoon was one. She
mm-hmm.
stayed on. She received a contract. Harold Wood, of course, he did. He was a product of the University of Massachusetts, I believe.
Yes.
And
he told I taped him the
other day. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed within the school system. The three of us did. Ruth Lawton Gampson accepted a better position in Walpole, and
mm-hmm.
she continued on. And then my cousin Anna came to Westport, but she was married quite soon and went to Wisconsin. But we all received contracts, and it was just the talk of the campus. I have a position, you know. I have a job so soon, and we haven't even had any interviews.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was...
Well, Westport really was very enlightened, wasn't it, to do that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, they really...
They were so proud of you, too.
They were proud of us, and of course they had seen us go through the schools, and I suppose they figured that they weren't taking as much of a chance as it might have been with someone they didn't know.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
And you know, our weaknesses as well as our any strong points that we might have had.
Yes.
And so I remained at the factory, and I was principal. And then when the war broke out, Milton Earle was the superintendent of schools at that time, and he asked me if I would help him in the elementary schools. We had 7 small schools at that time. And so I was given the title elementary supervisor, but I was really doing a little bit of everything, such as unloading apples, surplus commodities, 80 crates of apples, or anything that had, collecting milk money, or... but actually, I was responsible for the 7 small schools. And that went on until 1953, when the present high school was ready for occupancy. Then the smaller schools were closed, some
mm-hmm.
of them. And pupils were transferred to the Milton Earle School.
Mm-hmm.
And my position was done away with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was named principal of the Earle School, where I remained until I retired.
Mm-hmm. And it's only been 2 years, hasn't it?
No, this is my 4th year.
Is this your 4th year of retirement?
Yes, I retired in June 1973.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it had been that long. Time flies.
Yes.
Well, one of the stories that one of your friends told me, and I think you've just more or less hinted at it, but that before there was any children's museum or anything, people doing anything like this, you were working with the children, taking them out on bird walks and helping them learn bird calls and recognizing birds and so on. That in your work, both as a teacher and as a principal, you were a naturalist too.
Not really. I think that at that time we took things in nature for granted when I was growing up. It was J.T. Smith who really got me aware of nature and got me interested, and
well, this was during your childhood.
Well,
when he did.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that probably I did gather a lot from him when I was growing up, and I've gathered a lot from him, and I still am
mm-hmm.
learning from him. You know, we have a
do
question
you go
about
on the bird walks.
I haven't been able to go on too many of them, but mm-hmm. we had a reunion at the farm this summer. Daughter Barbara Erickson had all of their family and our family still around, and all the neighbors who were able to come. We
mm-hmm.
had a grand time. We went over the farm and saw all the changes that had transpired. Of course, we visit each other quite often,
mm-hmm.
but I just think the world of JT and He was very good to us when we were growing up.
He's a lovely person.
Yes, oh, great person.
Well, now we come up to the a little bit more to the present. When you were going to hire a teacher, for instance, you're your principal of the Milton Erle School, which kinds of things did you consider first?
Well, of course, when teachers, I could only make recommendations. I would interview people and make recommendations. I think that I was not always impressed by the academic record of the person. I think I was more concerned about the impression that I would get from the interview concerning her love for children and her experience with children, her interest in the community, whether or not she'd participate, or he, whatever the case may be, and of course, what experience that person had had in teaching. But I found that very often a teacher who had, a person who had an excellent academic record did not necessarily make an excellent teacher. Because you see, a person who's had to struggle in some areas perhaps would have more patience. And this was my experience. So that I suppose I would be impressed by the interview and, and the way the person presented himself or herself. That would have a lot to do with my recommendations. Certainly there were no political motivations.
Did you, at that time, you know, today we are very much concerned with whether a person who is in the school system was a native or not a native of Westport. Was that in the back of your mind much of the time?
No.
It was just the best person.
Just the best person. That was not in the in the back of my mind. I think now it is very important, perhaps, in present-day thinking, if you have two people of equal ability. I think the preference probably would go to a native person. I know it does. Sometimes I think it goes to a native who perhaps does not have the qualifications. To be very honest with you, where a person came from had no bearing on my recommendations whatsoever.
Oh, I agree with you on that completely. I think, I mean, the best man for the job should have the job.
Who I think would do the best for the children? You know, the person I thought would best help the children.
Now, when did you begin to be active in things outside of working with the schools? Community things, library. You were always interested in reading. You grew up with a mother who read as she cooked. And poetry was it your love?
I was always interested in reading, and I participated in community affairs when I was teaching as well. We had, at that time, of course, we were a small group of teachers, and we were a closely knit group, and we had many activities which we carried on for the town to make money for students. We put on a play every year, and although we were very amateurish, we had a great deal of fun putting on the plays, and we did that sort of thing, and we did a lot in our association to bring speakers into the town. We had a series of talks understanding, trying to understand the children, get the parents' point of view and the teachers' point of view, and we would bring lectures into the town, lecture series, and we brought courses into the town for the teachers.
This is the Teachers Association.
Yes. And then, of course, I was active in the Junior Red Cross and the 4-H clubs. I was a 4-H leader and active in the Junior Red Cross when it was active in this town. I've always been interested in politics. I remember there was, when Roosevelt was elected the first time, Franklin D. And I was Alf Landon, and I was a fellow teaching in the building, and of course Alf Landon was soundly defeated. The next morning on my desk I found a bouquet of red roses and a little card that said, Roosevelt Roses. And so I've always been interested in politics, and I, even up until last year, managed to campaign locally for one of the candidates. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm through with that now. I think I've spent my day in politics, but I did run for the office of selectman a few years ago because I felt no one had taken out papers, and it really bothered me that no one had shown any interest.
Mm-hmm.
So I took out the papers, not expecting that I would win, and probably it would have been frowned upon for me to have taken on this added responsibility in view of the fact that I was working for the school department, but I did it to generate some interest, and it did, because there was, soon after I took out my papers, several other people took out their papers. And Charles Costa, the present selectman, defeated me. I did come in second, which I thought was quite an accomplishment.
I take Charles
Costa before,
and I think he's a very nice man.
He is. A former student of mine.
Yes.
I admire him
and
greatly.
It
was all a very happy campaign.
Yes.
No, because Charles was a student of mine and a very good student, and I enjoyed him as a student. I admired him. He's a very fine person.
Mm-hmm.
And at the present time, I am on the Council on Aging for the town of Westport, and I'm a trustee of the Free Public Library. And I was appointed.
How long have you been a trustee of the library?
I've been a trustee of the library for 2 years. This is my second year. But I was also a trustee when I was teaching some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But things got very busy in the department, and I did not run for re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's rarely ever any opposition for that.
No.
Position.
Well,
you know, there's no money involved in it,
No.
And I also am the Westport representative to the Homemaker Health Aid Service in Greater Fall River area, which is a non-profit agency.
Mm-hmm.
And the selectman appointed me to that position.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a member of the Nokichoke Seniors and Bristol County Retired Teachers and National and State Teachers Organizations.
Well, that's a busy life.
And I try to have, I have some folks in the city that are very dear to me, cousins, my own first cousin and his wife, I call them my cousins, and they are not able to drive, so I try to help them out and take them on a little shopping spree once in a while and take them out to their favorite eating place, you know. But, no, I really think that I can't put my finger on anything that I feel that has been very great that I've done in my lifetime. I wish I had done more, but I was in the hospital this summer, and I think that if anyone was the beneficiary of goodwill, that I have been, because I was there on two different occasions, spent 50 days there, and people that I would never expect to hear from sent me cards and greetings, and I thought, what wealth I do have.
Think of all those pupils who went through school all the time. You were principal or teacher or whatever, who loved you.
Well,
I mean, this is, you were warm and loving to them, and they feel that way now to you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's has happened.
I do like to help people, and I'm sure everyone does. I don't think that's a rare characteristic, really. But every day, I just, in my prayers, I'm not a regular church goer, but I do say I freely believe in prayer, and I do pray that I will do something for someone this day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try to make that my motivation for the day.
Yeah.
Do something kind for someone, and I'm not sure that I always succeed.
That's the philosophy.
I must say that I have been I am not always the kindly sort of person that I may be pictured by those who are my friends. I have been controversial in many areas in the school system, and I have not always been right.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit that, but I perhaps have been stronger and than I should have been,
mm-hmm.
both for the good of the system and for my own good,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when controversies arise, and I was trained under Milton Erle, who was my mentor and whom I always admired and feel was the best educator the town has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And he always said, "Audrey, you can help me because you won't yes me. You have ideas. You're not afraid to tell me your ideas if they're different from mine. And that's where you're of value to me." He said, "I can get anybody to yes me.
Yes.
I want someone who has a opinion.
Who will say no.
Yes." And I must say that 99% of the time Mr. Earl was right.
Yes. Well, he was a very intelligent man.
He was. He had so much to offer. He was not appreciated, really.